Lord, we ask that you would direct this time that you have been so faithful to. In Jesus' name.
This is bound to happen, so bear with me. But yeah, you can go ahead and record this, Lisa. Well, I find it hard to believe that. Thank you. This day is coming, but I'll tell you a little bit of a story to illustrate one point I'd like to make. That's so often a draw from C.S. Lewis and Narnia. Do you remember in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe where Lucy had, they were playing hide and seek, and Lucy had frantically run into the wardrobe and she had ended up in the land of Narnia, this magical, unbelievable land. And she had gone there and she came back and she was just ecstatic to tell everyone about it. And nobody believed her. And that was a difficult place for her to be. And she tried to explain, and nobody understood. And then remember, if you're familiar with the story, and if this is not making any sense to you, if you're not, I guess, but if and Edmund, her brother, the little scoundrel, he followed her. And he ended up in the land of Narnia with her. And she was so happy that somebody would understand. And she came back and she came out of the wardrobe and she said, "Tell him, Edmund, tell him." And Edmund lied. He lied. He didn't say what was really there to protect himself. And they ended up, the brothers, the other brothers and sisters, they still didn't believe Lucy, although they had compassion for her, they weren't hard on her, but they didn't believe her. And they went to the professor, and the professor in his wisdom said, "Well, which one of these two has a history of telling the truth?" And they go, "Well, Lucy. And has she lied to you before like this?" "No." "Has Edmund?" "Yes." "And now, because you don't understand, you're choosing to believe Edmund and not believe Lucy?" And they say, "Well, it's so unbelievable. It's just we don't understand." He said, "Yes, you don't understand. You don't understand. But Lucy is the one that has developed this relationship with you, that has this character of telling you the truth, and you need to believe her." And my analogy I'm drawing is that I know that what we are doing is difficult to understand. And I know to some, and I understand this. First of all, I understand it's difficult. I've lost people here too, and it has bothered me. And I have responded well and responded not well sometimes. So there's no judgment on my part towards anybody or any response that I have seen or heard. I have no judgment on you because of that. But at the same time, I would like for you to look at my history, our history, Lori and I. What have we put first? We put first God and His purposes, and we've laid down our lives for the call. We've done that. And for our time here, I've made mistakes, but trust me, I've made mistakes. And I look back, and my tendency is to focus on those like a lot of people. But on another hand, I have no regrets, because I have preached to you the full gospel, and I've shared with you my life as well. So I have no regrets in that sense. I've done my job to the best of my ability and the power of the Holy Spirit. I have never stepped into this place without dependence on God. I promised you when we started,
that I would do that. And that I have done. So, I ask you, if you don't understand what is going on, to be patient. I'm not saying we've explained it the best, but I ask you to look at our life and how have we lived and for whom have we lived. We have not lived for ourselves. We've not lived for our family. We've lived for the cause and the purpose of knowing God and making Him known. We have done that. So I'd ask you to look at our history, and our purpose is no different in what we're doing now. I can tell you this is hard. When we left Georgia, this is harder than when we left Georgia. I can't explain all that to you. This is more difficult than when we left and left my family and left my dad, who I was never going to live in the same town as again. When we left, this is more difficult than that. And I would rather, for us, and I know Lori, it feels the same, we've talked about it, I would rather we were going to some difficult place in the Middle East, some closed country. I would rather we were going to some village in the far reaches of Africa. It would be easier than what we are doing. My tendency is to press on, to keep moving, to keep having vision, to keep, in one sense, that can be godly ambition, it can be human ambition. Those are hard to differentiate, even in yourself. But I know that God has told us to stop. To stop. We've got things to take care of. And we are not through. You know, we are not through. I'll be through when death comes. Okay? That's my promise to you. I'll be through when death comes. And then we go to glory. I'm not through. We're not through with what God's called us to do. And this situation, as difficult as it is, will make us more fruitful. And we've not shared with you all the details of what is going on. It's harder than you can imagine, really. The things, and we have got to take care. We've got to take care of this. And we've put it off. We've got, and I know you don't understand all the details, but why have you had to leave? You know, if we didn't say we are going and said we're going firmly, you would have never had that meeting last night. That wouldn't have happened. It was necessary. Now, so people want to know, what is a sabbatical? You've said sabbatical, and we've used that term. And first, let me explain what a sabbatical is. Many times, people in leadership, particularly in spiritual leadership, the weight is heavy. Some of you will find out. The weight is more than what you realize. And there comes a time when you need to rest and to rejuvenate and restore. That is technically a sabbatical. So technically this is not a sabbatical because we have another purpose. Now, as we started moving into this, I started recognizing, oh, you know what, we do kind of need that. I don't know that if we're going to have the time to do that, but we do sort of need that too. And then I start thinking, God is doing more here than what at first we realized. It's kind of like, do you remember the first time you left home? I remember when I left home for the first time. I thought, man, I was adventuresome. I was young and strong. And I was going to bust out and just go and take on the world. And as soon as I started to bust out, I realized, oh my goodness, I don't know if I want to do this. It's like, I did not want to leave home. I realized that as much as I loved going, I did not want to go. But it's a necessary part of life. And as I've thought through this, I think it's going to be healthy for some of you. It's going to be healthy. And I don't understand exactly all of that. And so, are we coming back? I think that's a question that's on people's minds. You know, we have this to take care of. In case you don't know, I've shared this with some of you. We have been at 50% for the last 2 years of trying to deal with this, or less. And we love this. We love you. We love you. We love this. We love that. We love this. And so, if we're here, there's a few things that happen. You think I can?
you think I can keep Lori out of going and killing those workouts? And no, it's gonna, we're gonna be here, or from trying to run that thing, or me doing it. No, it's like we have got to say we've got to just stop and take care of what we have to take care of. And so in that sense, it's a sabbatical. We're gonna stop, and we're gonna take care of and do what God has given us. He gave him to us. There was no accident. He was knit together in his mother's womb. It was no accident. And we're going to trust God. Are there times I don't trust God with it? In the middle of the night when things are coming apart and you don't know how many times they've come apart. Last night, there was not a wink of sleep. And it's not just not sleep. That's not the main thing. The main thing is the weight of what's going on inside the head and what do we do. And so it's also been said, legitimately so, what if you can't do anything? Well, maybe we can't, you know? And then we'll have to accept that. But right now, there's something we feel that we can do. And so we're gonna do it. And I was going somewhere else with that and I forgot sabbatical. So when we get through this, we are gonna reevaluate where we are, where we're going, what we're gonna do. That is our plan. So I've been warned on both ends. Some of you good friends and counselors have warned me to leave it open to coming back. And some people say, well, even if it's open, shut the door so nobody counts when you're coming back. Well, I don't know that I can do either one. I don't know. I just have to say, this is it. This is where we are. This is honesty. We have to take care of this. And so then you say, well, why are you selling? We don't want to try to maintain that, selling your house. We're going to need to try to maintain our house here and do a lot of that. And we need money to take care of things that we're going to live and do there. I mean, you know, there are practical considerations. I don't know if that probably doesn't give any closure or answer any questions, but that is, when we get through this, we're going to say, what does God want us to do? Does he want us to go to Kathmandu? Does he want us to go to Africa? Does he want us to come to you back to Utah? We will do whatever God wants us to do, no matter the cost. We really will. We will. And this is what God is calling us to do now. I would rather it was some village in a hard place. If you know me, you know that's true. I would rather it be that. I would rather keep going and pressing on and have vision and meet non-believers and train and preach. I would rather do that. That would be my choice. But sometimes God says, yeah, that's you. I called you to that, but this is what you're going to need to do right now. And we're going to do, I'm going to take care of what God has called me and given me to take care of. I'm going to do that. You know, church is a funny thing. SJCC, South Jordan Community Church. It's always, you know, and Carlton called me last night to check on us and see how we're doing. He sends his love and he said he goes to the website and he listened to last week's message and he called like right after he listened to it. Well, first he walked and prayed, of course. And just how encouraged and strengthened he was from that. And then when he looks at the pictures and he sees the front of the building and all the, you know, the fireplace and he sees all that on the website and he just, all the flood of memories that come back to him. But you know, South Jordan Community Church is not about South Jordan Community Church, that organization of South Jordan Community Church that we are registered with the state and all that stuff. If that was to end tomorrow, this is my point to that, is that you guys have heard me talk maybe about Tuesday night Bible study, or maybe you hadn't heard that name, but that's what a lot of those people that I talk about that were Carlton, he was a non-believer. Believe that? Carlton was a non-believer at one time? Into all this odd stuff. But anyway, I won't tell him. And he became a believer, and he was a part of Tuesday Night Bible Study and Foster out into some bad stuff. He was a part of South Jordan. I mean, he was a part of a Tuesday Night Bible Study. You know, Tuesday Night Bible Study doesn't exist anymore. That doesn't even hurt my feelings. Because Carlton exists, and Jesus exists in him, and Jesus exists in Foster. And Steve Wittenberg, and I could go on, and the work of God is carrying on through those people, just as it will with you. This is not about South Jordan Community Church, really.
You're a part of the body of Christ, and you will continue to be a part of the body of Christ. And the investment made in you was in you. It wasn't in this organization. It was made in you. And the seed that was planted in you to grow, it will grow whatever. Now, trust me, I believe the South Jordan Community Church is going to go on. I believe that. It certainly shouldn't stop because we are called to something else. But I just want to make sure your focus is right, that you're not focused on trying to save this organization. You know, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you are the church, and you're going to do what God has called you to do. And I believe you've been prepared and equipped to do it. I believe that. You have been given the full gospel. You have been taught that the blood of Jesus takes care of your sin, anybody's sin. It's the blood of Jesus and it's nothing else. You've been taught that you're identified with the death of Jesus' body on the cross, and that sin does not have power over you, and that you can have a relationship with God. You can know Him and walk with Him and be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ, and you've been taught how to invest that whole thing into somebody else's life. You've been taught those things. Go do them. Go do them. And my love is with you. Our love is with you. Can I tell you something? In my speaking, you'd think I would be polished by now, but I'm not. And sometimes I will say I, and I forgive me, Lori, for doing that when I do it, because if you guys went over that list last night, you probably began to pick up on something. Are we paying Steve or Lori here? You probably picked up on something. She is a driving force, not just of those practical things that I am not gifted to do. Certainly she has done those things, but she is my partner in doing what we have done. I couldn't have made a move without her support, with her. I'm talking about real partnership in disciple making. And Caleb has been right in there with us, and we want to see that again. So, I don't know if I said all that was on my mind or not. I certainly haven't. But that's a beginning. And this whole thing has been a process of trying to share something that's more than difficult to share. And if you're struggling with this, then join the crowd, because this has been now hard. This is hard. And I have cried out to God. I don't know if I'm done, God. And I cry out your names individually and say, what about me? What about me? He says, I got it. I got it. Not Ken and Pat have it. I've got it. He has it. He'll carry on. I think I'm done.
So, no, I'm not handing this preaching job over to Keith. No offense, Keith. But I'm handing it over to anybody. And, honestly, I would like to see you up here preach. I'd like to see Sam up here preaching. There are some of you I'd like to, yeah. I'd be greatly encouraged to hear those stories. And we will. This is not, we have next week to share these things. But Keith said that he had some things to share. And he shared some of those with me that God had laid on his heart to share with you guys. And that's how God works. That's how God works in the body. And so let's keep in step with the Spirit. And so I said, Keith, if you guys have things to share, then you can come up here and share them. So I'm going to hand it over to Keith.
Is it working? All right. Well, I didn't know Steve was going to get up here and have a chat with you all before I got here. So you may hear some things that have been that'll be echoed about things he said, but it's from my perspective about. So what I wanted to do is I reckon we ought to pray too first, real quick. So let me do that real quick. God, I just want to come before you and thank you for the for everything that Steve and Lori have done for this body and beyond it. And I just pray that you will give them strength to continue to carry on in you, and that Kayla may become a part of that again and participate in that ministry. And Lord, the other thing I pray about is for our church body here. Because like Steve said, you're not done with us. And we're here, you know, with Steve's going on and us, we're here to fulfill your purposes. So I just pray that you'll help us all to come together in unity, to start just developing our relationship with you, that we can share it with the world and impact others the way that Steve and Lori have us. So I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So think about your first thought when Steve and Lori said that they were going on a sabbatical. My first thought was, oh my gosh, what is this? There's too vague. Is the church falling apart? Are we going to have to find a church somewhere else? And I'm panicking. Where am I going to take my family to church? Because I searched for several years to find this one. And there's sound teaching from the pulpit, and it's real. And it's not made up. So that was my greatest concern. And I know it's different for each one of you. Some of them, the relationship may have been the first thing that came up to your mind. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't processed emotionally. I'm kicked into, we got to function as church. I mean, I got to get connected to God. I got to sit there and start pushing. We got to start pushing to keep this church rolling along, and it can't fall apart because Steve and Lori have left. And I'm just going to say one thing, they haven't left us unequipped. So that's important. So, and Pat reminded me that this is God's church, and we came together and committed as brothers, and Ken as well. I knew that these people were going to be on board to still fulfill God's purpose here in South Jordan. And God may say, "Nope, I wanted to close up shop." That could happen, but right now, that's not what the message we're getting, I don't think. So if you could, turn to Acts 20, verse 16 and 17. Now, I got some comments about Steve, and I got some comments for the church. And it wouldn't really be a sermon, per se, but being 51 and a poor memory and being disorganized, I got it down here on paper. So I'll try to do my best to keep you guys alive out there. I'm going to kind of build this up, sort of, with Paul, and then you'll see where it's going when we get to Steve. On 20, 16, and 17, it says, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. So Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. His next stop after Jerusalem is going to be Rome. And that's where his ministry is going to end. And many of these letters came from out of there. So let's go ahead and... Oh, so it's never Paul's plan to be in one location too long. I mean, his goal was to spread the gospel of Christ and to disciple people. Let's see how this sort of came about so that we can build up on this. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So that's what Jesus' plan is for the church. And the church stayed in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas until the martyrdom of Stephen. Because Jesus told them prior to stay here until the Holy Spirit, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But he wanted them to the ends of the earth. So in Acts 7 and 54 through 58, we see that Stephen's arrested and he goes before the Sanhedrin. That's a religious body of Jews. And he's proclaiming the gospel. And he greatly perturbs them. So they drag this fellow out, this poor guy, Stephen. And he didn't feel he was poor, mind you. But they drag him out and stone him. And it says, meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. So turn to Acts 8, 1 through 4. I'm going to let Scripture speak more than me, if that's all right with you all. In Acts 8, 1 through 4, it says, and Saul was there giving approval to his death, Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. And those who had been scattered had preached the word wherever they went. So now we're starting to see the word go out. They've been persecuted. They've been scattered. Paul's in his pursuit to destroy the church, Saul. And on this trip to go find more people, he has a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And it impacts him. So eventually he submits and his ministry begins. So let's turn to 9, 15 through 18. Acts 9, 15 through 18. So what happens is the Lord says to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings. And before the people of Israel, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking... he got up and he was baptized. This encounter with the Savior, and then this, him sending Ananias to him by the word of Jesus, this impacts this man's life forever. And I would suggest that impacts our life. What follows is three missionary journeys and a trip to Rome. Paul's passionate not just about proclaiming the gospel of salvation, but about discipling people, building relationships with people. And that would account for his longer stays in certain locations. So when Paul's doing this, he's setting a pattern of what true Christianity looks like. He conveys this to the people that he's around. Acts 2:18. And we'll be back in 20 again, so you might want to pinpoint that. 2018, when they arrived, the elders from Ephesus, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the day I came into the province of Asia. So, he set this example, and he's calling them on it. He says, I've shown you this example. And he's affected the life of people like Timothy, Epaphras, Mark. You know, he had a blowout with his fellow Mark early on. And later on we see that he's forgiven Mark. And Mark is in his circles now. Many people that he's affected. And Paul's intent never was to stay too long in any one place. He did this discipleship. Much of it was done with these people that I mentioned, following along with them. So he built up the body in truth and love. He planted churches, and then he'd leave. And he would leave behind those that he discipled. So these people that he discipled, they're going to further build the church and carry on the work of Christ in that location. So there's 27 books in the Bible, in the New Testament. 13 of those are written by Paul. Now these letters are called the Pauline epistles. They're letters to churches or to individuals. And even though the book of Acts is not written by Paul, a large majority of his missionary journeys are right there. It's almost dominated by his activities. So the books, the reason that Paul wrote these letters was to encourage people, to admonish them, and instruct them how to live in Christ. And he continues to disciple people via written word. He wants to ensure that God's purpose is fulfilled despite his absence, and he left these men and women in charge, the local body, to carry on God's work. So if we turn to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, I'll read a couple of verses on the purpose of these letters. If you men have been coming on Friday, you already got the gist of this one. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. And then again, then in 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And it was 13 and 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And then go to Titus 1:5. These letters, Timothy and Titus, are to individuals who are up in the church. And he says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So he's left behind qualified men to train up other qualified men for the purpose of running the churches, for being engaged in ministries and mission of the church. So Paul didn't have a plan to remain pastor at a church for life. That wasn't part of his plan. He moved from place to place. I think this church for life is kind of an American thing, but it may not be. He kept moving on. He's watching Jesus change lives along the way. He's building up sound doctrine. And the whole intent was that they, the people, the remnant, would be left to carry on. Not for him to run the whole show in one spot. So that brings me to South Jordan Community Church. So I got a few things to say about Steve, and he's mentioned some of these. Some of the stuff about Steve we just heard. I might say that he got to read my notes before I ever got up here. But long before Steve came around, he traveled throughout the country. You know, as a young man, he mentioned that he traveled. But I heard this one story. I'm not going to tell you the story. His goal was to share Jesus along the way. Whether it be a hobo who taught him how to hop a train car, or if it was a coworker or any other opportunity he would have to share, he would do it. And I think he had the proper perspective about discipleship and about relationship building. You know, it's about getting to know someone so they get to know you. And through getting to know you, they're going to learn to know Christ. he's got a string of folks that he mentioned, you know, people like Ken Foster, Carlton. And they're actively involved in ministry today. It's not that they just came to know Jesus and attained salvation, but they are active in ministry. That's the important part. You know, he's not filling pews. He's trying to reach people. Steve's born fruit in Christ. We've already seen this before he even came here. I've told him that a long time ago. I said, look what you left behind. And he didn't even really recognize it, I don't think. Has he done everything perfectly? No. Has he told me, look, Keith, when you get closer to me, you're going to see all the blemishes? Yep. And I've had words with him over things because I've been close to the guy and I've seen it. And sometimes it was me who was wrong, and thank God he was there to save me. But he possesses weaknesses in certain areas. We all do. And then there's Lori and Caleb. They've been involved in this ministry as well as a partnership. We all, like Steve mentioned, we saw yesterday, many of us who didn't know, all the things that Lori had been doing behind the scenes. I didn't realize there was that much stuff going on. And Caleb. How many times has Caleb stood up here and gave us a verse? How? Anyways, Steve felt he wanted to come to Utah, but he didn't dare leave Georgia until Lori felt like they'd been called. And I think the story was one day he says, will you go with me? And she said, yes. So that's the short story. Anyways, you might disagree with me on this matter. I don't think there's any biblical evidence that suggests that a pastor is required to stay at a single church for life. I just don't think there is. You may be able to find something. I haven't got that deep into it, but I don't see it in Paul's life. Is this painful? Is it disruptive? You know, we've seen people like Thomas leave. We've seen Carlton leave. Was that disruptive? It was, and it's going to be disruptive. But it's more disruptive if the person is counting on a pastor and not on Jesus. If you're sitting there and looking to him for strength and what to do, he's supposed to be an example, but he's not going to. You got to have a relationship with Jesus, not just with him. But I think we could say that Steve has done as Paul did. I think that we could say what Paul said to the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20 and 27. Acts 20, 20, and 27. It says here in 20:20, you know I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be help. You know I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. And then in 27. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. And Steve's done that. And I have no doubt that Steve's going to continue on in the ministry wherever he goes. I mean, it may not be pastoring a church. It may not even be a Bible study. But I know this man cannot resist having relationships with folks. Maybe one person. And that's what our expectation should be of any pastor. These things that I've mentioned. You know, if they did what they were supposed to do and proclaim the whole gospel and equip us, then they can leave with good conscience. And Steve's ideal, Steve and Lori, this is not the best way to lead. This is not what they would have chosen if they had a choice. It's not taken lightly. He's devoted years of his life here, urging the body to act and to grow and to reach the lost. And you can't really think that they're uprooting and this is easy for them. You know, this is not pain-free for anyone. So, this is a sad occurrence. People are going to be angry. People are going to feel sad. People are going to feel abandoned. People are just going to have anxiety, like me. You know, where am I going to go to church? All of these things, where there's anger, there has to be forgiveness. And I've said this to him, too. If he ever felt anything because someone mentioned something, that yes, he needs to be able to forgive as well. Where there's anxiety and sadness, there needs need to keep a view of the cross. Because in over all of this, we need to be prayerful. That's the only way we're going to be able to carry on. So now for those of us who remain. And here, I want to say that I'm pointing the finger at me. Because you all know my pattern of wandering off and then wandering back. And it seems to cycle. It's been a long time since it cycled. But it does. There's been a regular pattern. Don't put your hope in the return of Stephen Lowry. Put your hope in the return of Christ. Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Where I've been recently, what prompted me to make to ask Steve if I could speak. You watch what's happening in the world, and then I'm like, okay, I gotta push away talk radio. I gotta get away from this stuff. It's just contaminating me, and I switched over to listening to sermons on the radio instead. And I'm just like, the time is drawing near. The time is drawing near. We're talking about a God who's created the whole earth, who's holy, who's righteous. We're sinful, and he's going to come down here, and he's going to expect something. When he returns, what's he going to say to you? Is he going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in few things. Now I'll make you, I'll put you in charge of many things"? Are we going to hear that? I sure hope so. Each one of you needs to look inside and determine that. God still has work for us here at this church. We're not here for our own purpose. We're here for God's purpose. God has a purpose. God is not here to be a genie for us, to answer our wishes. We have a role to fulfill to the world, and that's the way he wants it. So, put your faith. A couple of things. We're part of a denomination, so we have someone to fall back to. You know, we got everyone here, but we have a denomination who's going to help us if we're struggling. South Jordan Community Church isn't done. Put your faith in Christ, not in the pastor. This is a bump in the road. It's not the end of the road. So let's do what it says in Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. It's coming. We got some responsibilities here. Those of you who've been through Firm Foundations, you remember how God chose the Hebrew people. He chose the Hebrew people to have a special relationship with him so that they would stand out amongst the rest of the world. They were to be his representative to the world. Well, God's not done with the Israelite people. They're still his chosen people. But now it's our responsibility, the church, to be God's representative to the world. And that is South Jordan Community Church is part of that plan. So, in order to represent Christ, we have to do what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 21. says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." I mean, if you got God's purposes in mind, you're going to see them from God's point of view. And that's what we need to pray for in our lives. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling himself to the world, to himself, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we are his ambassadors, and we are the ones who represent him. When people see us, are they seeing Jesus? Now keep in mind, I'm pointing at myself. So, but this is something. So we're called to unity in Ephesians 4, 1 and 3. Let's see that. Four, one through three. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live your life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then we're called to love. And John 13:34-35. A new command I give you: love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That old song. They will know we are Christians by our love. People are going to see a representation of Christ in our relationship with one another. So this week I was listening to a message from Greg Laurie. So many people may have heard him before. He was expressing a hope that there might be one more great awakening in America, one great revival within the church. And I propose that's what we need, is a revival in this church. Things are going to seem like they're falling apart. Well, no. We'll talk about the phoenix. Out of the ashes, we're going to have this glory. So, this isn't something that we can manufacture. It's not something that can... It could be artificial. It could be manufactured, but it's not what Christ wants. This has got to be Spirit-filled. It's got to be real. It's got to be sincere. We need to seek him individually and corporately. A few years back, Julie told me, you know, I've never really read the Bible. I need you to help me. And I told her, I said, you know, yes, I am to be... You know, I need to help you do that as well. We need to spend some time together. But you have a relationship with your mother, right? She's like, yeah. And I said, and you got a relationship with me, right? Do I fulfill all the needs that you have? She's like, no. I said, does your mother fulfill some of those needs that I don't? Yeah. That's where Christ is going to be, can fulfill all needs. But there's things that you get out of that relationship that I cannot give her. So that's what we need to do individually, is each seek Christ and develop an individual relationship and corporately as a body. So one of the things that intrigued me about Greg Laurie was he asked a few questions to personalize revival rather than lay any kind of blame on the church. And by the way, we are the church. Says these things, these questions, they stung me because I had to really reflect on this, and it made me introspective. So, question one: what if the whole church was just like you? What if everyone in the church functioned just like you? If they prayed as often as you pray, would we have a praying church? What if everyone reached out to the lost as much as you do? Would we have an evangelizing church? What if everyone gave financially as much as you do? Would this church be overflowing in resources? So, Steve's been repeatedly trying to activate people in the body. That's been his whole function over all these years. And he said it over and over in all of his sermons. Now we have to do that. You can't depend on one person in here. Don't count on Pat. Don't count on Julie. Don't count on other people. You're part of the body. We all need to function. We all have a function. And we all have different gifts. And, you know, I'm kind of a kind of guy who's hardcore, straightforward. I'm going to lay it out there, and sometimes it's painful. Well, I need to have Julie to go, hey, you know, temper that down a little bit. Her function is to do that for me. So we work together. Like Steve and Lori have worked in partnership. That's what happens. And sometimes Pat needs to go, man, you're losing it. Let's have a little chat. You know, and maybe we'll pray together and things will calm down. And it'll give me a chance to gain my perspective. So let's, we have to do that or else SJCC could disappear. Let's turn back to Acts 20. Told you we'd be back there. Verse 32 and then 36 and 38. So Paul tells the Ephesian elders, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And then 36 and 38. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them, and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Now, we haven't heard that from Steve. We might not see his face again, except in heaven. But we haven't heard that from Steve. But, you know, this is kind of the response of the Ephesian elders. So it's God's church. We're the body of that church. Steve and Lori have acted faithfully in presenting the whole word of God in speech and in action, I might add. As Paul did, they're going to leave. But they're going to leave behind people they've discipled. They're going to leave people who are capable for carrying on God's work here, for reaching out to the lost and decide. And that Steve and Lori did that. That's what we need to do, is reach the lost and disciple people so that they can go out and reach the lost and disciple people. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by the grace and will of God. And we can do that in that respect. So I just got one final verse that I'd like to read. It's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So, let me go ahead and just pray one more time, and then I'll turn it over to Steve if he's got some final comments or anything. God, we do thank you for your word, that we would be lost without it, but you reach out to us, and we're not lost. And I thank you for the grace that you will pour into each one of us if we seek you. And you do want us to know you, and you want to be known. And I just pray that each person here is going to be looking for that individual relationship, reaching out to you daily, and just coming to know you and show yourself to us, Lord. You know, I do pray for a revival within this church and within the churches at large, your church body at large, Lord. I do pray for that. The only way we're going to do this is with you. And I pray with Steve and Lori that you will just carry them on and be with them as they deal with Caleb and as they continue to minister wherever they go, because I know they're not done. And I just thank you for this time that we've had today. Just help us as we seek you, and may we do it in a sincere fashion. In Jesus' name, amen.